Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatade Shacharane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you all for being here. How many people were at the festival this weekend? Everybody. How do you like it? I thought it was amazing. I actually haven't been able to come for the past 2 years, and the festival organizers are so focused on helping us be focused. why we're coming together to chant. Their mood is to bring the community together around kirtan, which is meaning bringing the community together around the holy name, around Krishna. And I, like I said, I haven't been here for the last 2 years, and I noticed that there's a quantum leap, you know, from the last time I was here. I was just so much appreciating being with all the devotees, being able to just sit and chant Maha Mantra for hours on end with all these wonderful, sincere devotees. It's really purifying and uplifting. And I feel like I was reminded by Shanaswami, a good friend of mine, I'd like to say a good friend, used to say we chant japa to purify our heart, and we do kirtan to purify our relationships. Isn't that nice? And I really felt that it wasn't like, sometimes because I've been in a lot of different circumstances doing kirtan, and sometimes you do kirtan and you kind of feel like people are thinking, okay, entertain me. You know, are you going to do something cool or are you going to be boring? But in this assembly, we really feel like just everybody's there to chant the holy name. So beautiful. Yeah, again, thank you to the organizers. 15 years they've been doing this now. And Gornitai have been installed 50 years ago. So very auspicious time. So we wanted to, you know, just take this occasion to kind of appreciate Srila Prabhupada. And just kind of, do you think any of us would know each other or be here if it weren't for Srila Prabhupada? I don't think so. And would we know what, you know, would we know what kirtan is? So Srila Prabhupada, we can rightly call him the kirtan acharya. He showed how to do kirtan. He inspired thousands of other people to do kirtan and carry on kirtan around the world. So very, very special. And he gave us, I'm going to look at my notes again, so see where we are. Yeah. Okay. Your turn.
It was interesting planning this class together because we actually didn't have much time before the festival or during the festival. We thought, okay, we're going to be together the next 3 days. No. So it's really over the last few years, we've encountered different people who are actually taking in the yoga community, specifically taking the credit of sharing or spreading kirtan around the world. And it's something that really disturbed me, that as Srila Prabhupada's disciples and followers, it's our duty to make it be known that Srila Prabhupada is the kirtan acharya. He is the one who brought the Hare Krishna chanting out of India and brought it around the world. And not only what he did while he was here physically present, but how he's empowered his disciples and his followers And now it's reaching millions upon millions of people, the Hare Krishna chanting. And it's wonderful that it's become so popular. But we need to really establish Srila Prabhupada, give him the credit that's due. So we see, when we travel quite a bit, and we see how kirtan's gained popularity in many, many places that before was unheard of in all different cultures. And what we wanted to focus on tonight is the very beginning, the seeds of the kirtan that Srila Prabhupada brought first to New York City. And so in 1965, to our knowledge, there was virtually no kirtan going on outside of India. And the kirtans that Srila Prabhupada started first at Dr. Mishra's ashram, Prabhupada was doing kirtan there and encouraging, teaching those yoga students to chant. And then as soon as he had his own place, he was having kirtans before his classes. And then, of course, matchless gifts in the Lower East Side of New York. And the nearby park, Tompkins Square Park, how many of you have been there before in New York? Oh, okay. Over half. That's wonderful. So it is a very magical place. It's really a holy dom. Mm-hmm. Tompkins Square Park and the elm tree that Srila Prabhupada started the public kirtans at. And how many of you at the festival saw the big black and white photograph of Srila Prabhupada there? That's from...
There's one here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, right there.
Magic.
Yeah. Very special living entity that elm tree is. That.
Special. Oh yeah, wow, nice. So, and also significant. There are, of course, kirtan in different kinds of tradition. But Srila Prabhupada especially brought Maha Mantra kirtan. He brought the Maha Mantra. And this mantra has the power to awaken Krishna prema. It's a very special kind of kirtan. It's also called prem kirtan, this kirtan that we're so fortunate to do with the holy name. And I read something recently. I mean, there's many statements about the Maha Mantra, but this is just something I read recently I wanted to share. Gopal Guru Goswami says, Siddha Krishnasya Sat Prema Bhakti Siddhi Kara Mata. The translation is, this powerful Krishna mantra gives the perfection of pure prema for Krishna. This siddha that this Krishna mantra gives is prema bhakti. So it's so wonderful that Srila Prabhupada brought this to New York City. So amazing. So then we'll hear a little bit about this first public kirtan.
So this actually took place on October 9th, 1966, in New York, under this in this beautiful assembly. And it's described that at that time, the Lower East Side of New York was an epic center of the mind expansion revolution. How many of you were alive at that time and old enough to know what was going on with the counterculture?
60s. Okay.
Yeah. So it's described, I think, in, that it was quite a chaotic environment at Tompkins Square Park. And Srila Prabhupada came along with his followers, about a half a dozen disciples. They walked to the store from the storefront to Tompkins Square Park, and a few of followers had gotten there earlier and had started with their cymbals and had rolled out the rug and gotten it ready and had started a kirtan. And when Srila Prabhupada arrived, he took off his white rubber slippers and he sat down on the rug with his followers around him, and he began clapping his hands to help them keep the timing because they didn't know how to play the cymbals in time. And Prabhupada kept clapping his hands throughout the kirtan to make sure it stayed in rhythm, and he began the mantra. He began singing, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srila Prabhupada playing a small drum, holding it with his left hand and playing it with his right, and of course, we know now Prabhupada's expert mridanga player, but then the devotees, they just would see Prabhupada keep the rhythm with this little drum, and at a certain point when the tempo picked up, Prabhupada motioned and the devotees would stand up and start dancing, and then some of the hippies stood up and some of the children, and dancing began. And this stayed on, kept going for over 2 hours.
So. Yeah, 2 hour kirtan. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh. We have a little special treat. Can you play that?
Yeah.
We'll watch a few minutes of one of the kirtans there at Tompkins Square Park. It's pretty.
Transport is all there.
Amazing. This is coming up. So, anyway, these are the humble beginnings of the worldwide expansion of kirtan. So, and really within a few years, within relatively a short period of time, the Mahamantra kirtan chanting was spread all over the world, and it continues to spread. And this was a seed here. So especially in this class, we wanted to look at this, the first kirtan recording. Now kirtan is recorded a lot, but in those days it wasn't so easy to record. But this was the first, you could say, recording ready for mass distribution, that the kirtan could go around the world. So this first album was entitled Krishna Consciousness, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and it was produced by Happening Records. This is the front cover of the LP. And then this is the back cover. How many of you have seen this? Not so many. Anyway, just to share the flavor of the 60s and what this was like, we wanted to read the album cover for you.
So on the back, it starts with a quote by Allen Ginsberg, quote, "It brings a state of ecstasy," and then the Maha Mantra's there. And we're not sure, we're guessing it was Hayagriva Prabhu who did this write-up on the album, on the back of it. If anyone knows, please let us know. But this is just so much fun. Just imagine this is 1966. Actually, I think the record came out in 67. And this is what is on the back of it. "Attention, all eternal wayfarers on the shores of earth. Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta leads his devotees in an authentic rendition of the Vedic mantra Hare Krishna, better known in India as the Maha Great Mantra. Narada Muni, a real spaceman with power to travel freely throughout the entire creation, first brought this chant to earth from the planet Goloka, located in the spiritual sky. In this way, it has been sung on the banks of the Ganges for many thousands of years. About 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed this chant to be the most effective means to self-realization available to man in this age of Kali destruction. Today, Swami Bhaktivedanta delivers it to the West. This transcendental sound vibration is called Bhakti Yoga, or the Yoga of Ecstasy. It is easy and can be practiced by anyone. Simply sit down, relax, and listen. Listen carefully and gradually. You will begin to feel like singing too. Sing. As you sing, you will feel like dancing. Dance. Do the dance of ecstasy. Anyone can. There is no question of learning it. You already know it. Simply raise your arms over your head and dance. Relax, sing, dance. A new life of bliss and cosmic consciousness awaits you on the other side of the mirror of the mind. This life is lived by love and can most easily be reached by singing and dancing. This is Bhakti Yoga, the yoga for a new age. Try it.
That's probably good. Nice. Gives you a little flavor for the time. So we call this the Happening Album. And it's actually how it came to be was kind of magical. It's clearly Krishna's arrangement that this album manifests, where, as Jamuna Devi would say, is Krishna magic. So, I want to give special thanks to Satyaraj Prabhu. He wrote an article called "A Spiritual Happening on the Lower East Side," and much of the information is from that article. So in 1966, neither Srila Prabhupada nor any of his followers, they were doing kirtan in Dominican Square Park, but nobody was thinking of doing a recording. And like we said, it wasn't easy to do recordings in those days. And Srila Prabhupada always saw, as we well know, that as his book distribution as being the mainstay of his movement, his Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, if you get money, print books and preach in the English language. But when Srila Prabhupada came, he had several volumes of the Bhagavatam, but those were sold quite quickly. So there was no mass book distribution going on at this time. So this, this album came to be the first, you could say, mass distribution of transcendental sound through this medium.
So it happened in the cold winter of 1966. A gentleman by the name of Alan Kalman, he'd been a record producer for many years, and he happened to read an article about Srila Prabhupada and the Hare Krishna mantra in the hip downtown paper, the East Village Other, which is also who had published that photograph of Srila Prabhupada chanting under the tree. And from the article, he learned a little bit about the Hare Krishna movement, that it had its roots back in India, and that Srila Prabhupada was bringing this mystical, sacred chanting to New York. So Alan was so intrigued, they went down to meet the devotees and Srila Prabhupada at Tompkins Square Park, and they watched the kirtan, and he personally, in his words, he said, "I heard the chant and I gasped. It was brilliant, from another realm. It gave me a strange feeling of something magical. This had to be my next record," I thought. Mm-hmm. So Alan had already had a few different record companies, and none of them had become super successful. And his third one that he was doing, or fourth one, was Happening Records. And he was using it for spoken word records specifically, and giving voice to Timothy Leary, Malcolm X, and Mark Lane, who were very well known at the time. So it was a novel approach in the recording industry. And Alan considered that this was something worthwhile to bring out to a larger audience, the audience he already had, and that it would benefit people. So he had this idea that, okay, if the devotees chanted the mantra and then Prabhupada explained the philosophy behind the chant, then that would work into his spoken word record label.
This is amazing. First of all, a record label wants to record him, and they want to record the philosophy with it. When does that happen? Really amazing.
So then Alan went to Second Avenue to meet with Prabhupada, and his wife first called him to make an appointment, and Brahmananda Prabhu answered the phone and she explained what they wanted to do, and Brahmananda was excited about it. He thought, yeah, this is a great idea. So Carol and Alan went to meet Srila Prabhupada. In her words, "We went in to meet this guru. I didn't know what to expect. But Prabhupada was delightful, charming. Alan told him the plan to make a recording of the chant along with explanation to fit in with the spoken word concept, and Prabhupada loved it. He got so excited. He explained that the chanting is important, but that the philosophy behind the chanting is equally important. So he would be happy to do both on the album. I'll never forget what he said after that. The most important thing you can do for Krishna or God is to share his name with others."
One more time.
"The most important thing you can do for Krishna or God is to share his name with others." He told us that Krishna and his name are spiritually equal, the same, and that's why the chanting is so effective. So he was really into making the album. So Carol is being quoted with this decades later from when it actually happened. It's so far out, and that she's remembering what Prabhupada said, and it's like you can see how it's affected her all of these years.
Yeah. So interestingly, they were doing these evening kirtans in 26 Second Avenue, so the night before the recording, it just so happened that this young man came in with this two-headed mridang drum. It wasn't a mridang, it was probably a, dolak from the descriptions, although it's not real clear, but it's a two-headed wooden drum. So it's similar to mridanga, but not a mridanga. And as you could see on this recording, Prabhupada had played this little bongo drum, right? Playing like mridanga rhythms on the bongo drum, right? So at that time, the devotees thought, well, that's what you do. This is what Hare Krishna music is. You have a little bongo drum and some other instruments. So when Prabhupada saw this drum, his eyes got wide, and he asked if he could play it. So he began playing this drum during the kirtan that night, and he's just playing away, and the devotees had never seen him do that. They were amazed, like, wow, he can really play. So, and then after that, he said, "We have to have this drum for the recording." So that's what you hear on this recording.
So the next day, the devotees made their way to Bell Tone Studios on 51st Street and Broadway. And Alan is quoted as saying, "Bell Tone was a hot studio, very much in demand at the time." And some of the devotees, Rupanuga Prabhu was there, and he actually drove his old Volkswagen camper with Prabhupada and some of the others, and some of the devotees either walked or took the subway. It was a very cold day, and when they got to the studio, another band was in there, and they had to wait quite a while. So while they waited, they went ahead, and Prabhupada said, let's take a walk, and they walked around Times Square, their whole troop of Hare Krishna devotees with Srila Prabhupada. And when they got into the studio and were ready to record, one of the engineers asked, what's the name of your group? And one of the devotees said, the Hare Krishna chanters. Chanters, yeah. And Prabhupada came in and he sat on a mat in the center of the studio.
Yeah, just picture this. They put a mat in the middle of the studio, and what you're hearing is Prabhupada playing this
drum
and singing at the same time. That's just, remember that.
And another thing, how many of you have ever worked with recording, whether any kind of content creation or kirtan or albums? So when we're telling you this, keep in mind that all three of the tracks that Srila Prabhupada did, he did them with one take. Now, I've watched my husband.
No overdubs,
no multi-tracking.
It was
no
pre-multi-tracking. Yeah.
Yeah, so how often does that happen?
Never.
Okay. And Alan said, we started recording immediately and Prabhupada burst into the Hare Krishna chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. His tone was exotic, deep, and mesmerizing. I had recorded a lot of people in my time, professional singers and so on, but Prabhupada was especially captivating, infectious. He was born to do this. Prabhupada did about 6 different songs, traditional stuff from his lineage, but most of it didn't make it on the album. We were mainly interested in the Hare Krishna chant, though, which was becoming popular at the time. And then Rupanuga Prabhu says, a man came around to check the instruments to see how the microphones would pick them up and what sort of sound quality was like. I played 2 bells that sort of sounded like kartals. Hayagriva was playing tambora. Roy Ram played those South American wooden sticks. Kirtananda played the harmonium loaned to us by Allen Ginsberg, but he just pumped the bellows. He didn't know how to play it. So when you hear this recording, you can hear like the drone of the harmonium without any actual melody. And
along with the tambura. That's the kind of this halo of sound is this droning tambura and harmonium.
Yeah. And Prabhupada played the 2-headed Indian drum. There were some others. I remember Brahmananda was clapping too loud, so an engineer came and adjusted the volume. I'm sure you've all had that experience too when you're doing recordings like kartal players over there. We just kept playing following Prabhupada's lead. When we went overtime, Kalman from the engineer booth waved his hand to indicate that we should start wrapping it up. So Prabhupada saw that and he started going faster. After the recording, Alan came out of the studio. It was great, Swami, great. Would you like to just go right ahead and read the address now? And Prabhupada said, yes. So then the devotees went back in the studio, and they watched as Srila Prabhupada read his prepared statement. And after reading it, he said, there's still about 10 more minutes on side 2. So he asked Prabhupada if he was tired, and Prabhupada said, no. And they started to chant again. And this is when he recorded the Guruvastika prayers. And it's on the album, it's titled Chant to the Mercy of the Spiritual Master. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then Prabhupada said, now we are tired. The night was over. As the studio engineer replayed the take, Srila Prabhupada stood up, and he was hearing it, and he just began to dance.
Yeah.
The devotees stood up, and they're all just dancing, listening to the playback. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada turned to Alan, and he said, now you have made your best record. Prabhupada got into the front seat of the Volkswagen bus while the Hare Krishna chanters climbed into the back with their instruments and Rupanuga drove them back home, back to the Lower East Side. And this happening album, it was the first recorded kirtan in the West.
I think so.
And it took on a life of its own.
It's a major accomplishment.
And this is the album. How many of you heard this album before you went to a temple or met devotees? I know,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, quite a few of us. So George Harrison.
It is said, it is rumored that the way they were selling this is they put an ad in the East Village Other, and they would get requests, and then they would mail out the albums. That's how they were selling it. And according to certain sources, George Harrison bought 300 of these. We don't have that completely confirmed, but it could be true.
It's a great rumor, either way.
So anyway, somehow or other, George Harrison, we don't really know where this went. I mean, it's still going out there, this album. It's so powerful, it's so pure. And it reached the Beatles, so.
So in George Harrison's words, "I bought the Hare Krishna record in 1968, and John Lennon and I listened to it. I remember we sang the Hare Krishna mantra for days, John and I, with ukulele, banjos, sailing through the Greek islands, chanting. Like 6 hours we sang, because we couldn't stop chanting once we got going. As soon as we stopped chanting, it was like the lights went out. It went on to the point where our jaws were aching, singing the Hare Krishna mantra over and over and over and over
and over.
We felt exalted. It was a very happy time for us." And then he goes on to say, "I used to sing the Hare Krishna mantra long before I met any of the devotees or long before I met Prabhupada, because I had his first record for at least 2 years. When you're open to something, it's like being a beacon and you attract it. From the first time I heard the Hare Krishna chanting, it was like a door opened somewhere in my subconscious, maybe from some previous life." And actually, there's one recording when George Harrison and Srila Prabhupada were speaking at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and George said, "Sometimes I feel like a demon," and Prabhupada said, "You are not demon. You are demigod." So it's not at all surprising that George came as soon as he heard the Hare Krishna chanting.
I'm curious how many people heard the Maha Mantra the first time from George Harrison, from that era. Anybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So also another interesting thing, the result of this is, like I said, they were mailing out CDs. LPs, vinyl. Yeah, vinyl's back in, right? So, and they got an order from Macmillan Publishers for a record. And so they were excited. And just before that, Srila Prabhupada had completed his manuscript for the Bhagavad Gita. That's interesting in and of itself. Prabhupada came with Srimad Bhagavatam, not with Bhagavad Gita. It was like an afterthought, almost. Interesting, huh? So, and he gave the manuscript to Brahmananda and said, "Get it published." Here's, how do you do that? I had no idea how to do that. So then, just after that, then they got this order from Macmillan Publishers, one of the largest publishers in the world. And so Brahmananda told Prabhupada, what it was, and Prabhupada said, you should hand deliver this. You know, take the record there and hand deliver it. And he says, "When you deliver the album, tell them that you are a disciple of a guru from India and that he has translated the Bhagavad Gita. They will publish it. Do it, don't worry." These are Prabhupada's words. So Brahmananda put on a suit and tie, and he went down to the publisher. And when he got there, he discovered that the order had come from a clerk in the mailroom. It wasn't from Macmillan. It was just a clerk in the mailroom. He was a little discouraged. But then, while he was in the mailroom, he was talking to the clerk. And then this one man came in, and the clerk says, "Oh, this is James O'Shea Wade. He's our senior editor." So Brahmananda immediately stands up and says, "I'm a disciple of a guru from India. He has translated the Bhagavad Gita." So and Wade was incredulous. What? He says, we've just published a full line of spiritual books, and we were looking for a Bhagavad Gita to fill out our set. Is that amazing? And then Brahmananda just stood there with his mouth open. And finally Wade broke the silence and said, bring it in. Tomorrow we'll publish it sight unseen. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So this is the happening album. Pretty amazing. So maybe have you ever heard this recording? Would you like to hear it? Now we can listen to a little bit. And listen to it as if you've never heard it before, because we'll ask you what you heard. Maybe there's some things that you didn't notice before.
Vallehang Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalang
1966. Nobody's heard anything.
Sri Guru Vaishnava. Sri Rupam Chakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam.
Remember, Prabhupada's playing the drum and singing at the same time. Notice how spotless his intonation is, just among other things. He's got perfect intonation.
Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Nitan Jitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is amazing. So, what did he notice? How does it start? He didn't just start with the Maha Mantra, right? What does he begin with? Vandeham Sri Guru. So he begins by worshiping his spiritual master. This is going 1966, nobody knows anything. And he begins by worshiping his spiritual master, then the six Goswamis, Panchatattva, and Radha and Krishna. And then he sings Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Srila Prabhupada writes in different places that this Panchatattva Mahamantra, there's no offense in chanting this Panchatattva mantra. The whole Panchatattva there, they just give their blessings. So this chanting this mantra before chanting the Hare Krishna mantra opens the door. It makes it all the more effective. And actually, let me just read a little bit. He says, thus to derive the full benefit of chanting the Maha Mantra, we must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and then chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. That will be very effective. So Srila Prabhupada is giving the holy name, but he's delivering it in such a powerful way. It's so wonderful. And I think it's also interesting, just from a musical point of view, the way the beat is kind of quick. It's floating along like this. But he's just singing these prayers quite slowly. Have you ever noticed that they're just kind of floating over the top as if there's no time? So it's kind of like an alap, you could say, presenting these different prayers. And then there's a slight pause, and then when he comes to the Maha Mantra, it just locks into the time. And there's something really interesting about, we all know this melody as the Srila Prabhupada melody, right? But there's something really interesting about the way Srila Prabhupada sings it here. Has anybody ever noticed something special about this? Nope. Okay. I won't tell you. Well, it's hard to explain, but normally, if you sing this melody, like it, go back to Vinda, so say that's your sa, Vinda, then the melody would be, sa re ga ma, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But he doesn't sing it like that. He sings it a whole step higher. You've noticed it, right? So it's as if he's changing, you could say he's changing the scale, but he's singing it so it has a sharp four in it, right? So it's subtle, it's very subtle, but the effect is it's just so bright, and it's really out of the box. It's really out of the box. Prabhupada has done something so amazing. So, so in this way he's introducing this wonderful Maha Mantra to the world. This is how he's doing it in this recording. And then from there he delivers this address, which I'm sure all of you have heard, right? You've all heard his. Yeah, whatever big, right? Like a child crying for its mother. But I was thinking especially significant, just to conclude almost, a couple of significant points from this is that in this short talk, he's actually giving the whole Sambandhagan. Who are we? We're spiritual souls. There's some material energy. There's a Supreme Father, Krishna. So this Maha Mantra is actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this many times, that it can be effectively chanted when there's actually this understanding, who am I, who is Krishna? So Prabhupada's giving all this in this very short introductory talk. So it's just really amazing. At the same time, he stresses that anybody can chant, right? And not only can you chant, but you can experience ecstasy from the spiritual strata. He says a child can chant, even a dog can chant. Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only caused animals to chant and dance, but, yeah, took them back to Godhead. So it's really wonderful. And I just wanted to conclude with this idea that what Srila Prabhupada has given. And then another famous thing that we all know from this, although anybody can chant, still, the chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord so that an immediate effect can be achieved. So we're incalculably fortunate to receive the pure holy name from the lips of a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when someone heard that Mahaprabhu was traveling and he was chanting the holy name, and spreading, you know, Krishna consciousness through chanting. And it says there, when someone heard the chanting of the holy name from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone else heard this chanting from that second person, and someone again heard this chanting from a third person, everyone in all countries became a Vaishnava through such disciplic succession. Thus, everyone chanted the holy name of Krishna and Hari, and they danced, cried, and smiled. And in Srila Prabhupada's Viraha Ashtakam, which he, you know, when he pours out his heart to his spiritual master, he's speaking as if to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he says, "You instructed everyone you met to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. You showed the example of continually reciting the Maha Mantra in their ears. You empowered everyone with the qualification to further distribute that holy name." Isn't that amazing? Not only is Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, giving us the Maha Mantra, but he's also saying, you go on, you can distribute this. You empowered everyone with the qualification to further distribute that holy name. The souls who are truly attracted to worshiping the Lord always sing and dance in joyful sankirtan. Following in the footsteps of their spiritual master, they deliver the whole world. Jai, so pretty amazing, huh? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
You want to open it up for questions?
Oh, I know. Are we out of time? Was this okay, this presentation?
Yeah.
Thank you. I know we're preaching to the choir. These are all things you know, but it's good to be reminded.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt my dear husband. So we're getting close.
She never does that.
We're getting close to our 44th wedding anniversary. So I've watched Badahari teach for many, many years. Kirtan, and of course philosophy, and for maybe about 20 years, 25 years, I've been nagging him to actually do these kind of music appreciations of Srila Prabhupada because of his music background and his devotional background, that he can analyze and appreciate and share Srila Prabhupada's music and Srila Prabhupada's melodies. How many of you might have an interest in learning more about Srila Prabhupada's music and his melodies and learning to play and sing them yourself? So will you all please join me in nagging Badahari to so
how about blessing me?
Okay, better.
I'll be able to do this.
So about 2.5 years ago, Badahari and Vishwambar Sheth started on a project of, it's an online music school called Art of Kirtan. And to us, the most important part of this music school is a very extensive course on the music of Srila Prabhupada, the Kirtanacharya. So that, and we really, it's really dependent on the blessings and feedback from all of you, what you want to learn, what you want to know, how you want to go deeper yourselves. But over the years, we've done quite a lot of seminars and Kirtan camps where components of this were taught. And so many times the feedback was, wow, I've always heard Srila Prabhupada, but I never listened to Srila Prabhupada the way I'm listening now. and how unique Srila Prabhupada's kirtan and bhajan is. There's now we have access to thousands and thousands of recordings of many, many wonderful devotees and followers of Srila Prabhupada, and yet Srila Prabhupada's kirtan and his bhajans is unique. There's nobody else that has the same potency and heart and even musically sounding the same as Srila Prabhupada. So this has been something that I feel is a very important contribution you can make while you still have, while you're still with
us.
Little
life.
He turns 75 in a few days, so.
Yeah, I've thought about this for a while, and I always thought maybe somebody else would do it. But I think of Srila Prabhupada's musical. One devotee made the point that Srila Prabhupada's musical contribution, what he did is so monumental that we hardly even notice what he gave us in terms of music. But if that's all he'd given us was the kirtan and the Maha Mantra, it would have been monumental. It would have been amazing. So, and I think of Srila Prabhupada's music in three ways. One is that his own kirtan, how he did kirtan, and just hearing his vibration. I mean, there's no false ego. Here's someone singing with no false ego. When do you hear that? You know? That's amazing. So this is Prabhupada's kirtan. But he didn't just go around the world singing kirtan. He inspired thousands of other people to do kirtan and sing in their own way, as he said. They have their own style of kirtan. He didn't say that we necessarily had to sing like him. So there's that, the kirtan acharya. And Srila Prabhupada's bhajans are also amazing. If you listen to them, they're actually, that's his personal bhajan. Sometimes he would have somebody playing kartals or mridanga with him, but it's just him singing. He's not trying to get other people to sing along or follow. It's just him singing and pouring out his heart. And it's really, I would say it's an overlooked resource, Srila Prabhupada's bhajan. So it's kind of also my aspiration to take a deeper look into those things, and maybe by your blessings of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, that'll happen one day, soon. So thank you for your kind attention. Well,
I actually, Janeshwari was kindly, I have a bag of buttons and stickers. the logo for the school is a mridanga head.
This is the promotional arm of our.
So, everyone, take for yourself, take for your children. We've been passing them out at temples and festivals, but we haven't done it here in Alachua yet because we both have been gone. Yeah. You could just even give bags and let them pass them around, Janeshwari, if you wanted. Because there's like three different bags in there. And just trust people to. So thank you. Yes, so it's artofkirtan.org or artofkirtan. Oh, thank you.
Jai. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Best of all the holy name. Thank you, Jai. Well.
It's cold out there. If anyone has any questions, we're happy to stay for anyone's questions.
Okay. You're free to go if you want to.
Here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for giving me really wonderful, interesting insights about Srila Prabhupada's bhajans. Like, I used to hear them, but like you said that there's some subtle things which we miss out at times. But I had this question that, like you said, when you were explaining that when you start the Maha Mantra after the Panchtattva Mantra, that transition, like the way Prabhupada begins the tune, the pitch is more discreet. Like it's like Gaur Bhakta Vrinda and then Hare Krishna, and like there's no continuity in that. So sometimes like from a materialistic perspective, sometimes like when I also try playing that style of like the way Prabhupada sings, sometimes I just don't like it in that sense. Like I just feel like that transition, that more smooth transition, sounds better, and I just prefer to play in that way. But like you said, that it's more subtle and it has a more divine significance. So why am I not able to notice that?
Well, Srila Prabhupada, interestingly, he never said that we needed to sing like him. Also, that's a particular recording. So that's the way he did it then. It wasn't necessarily the way he always did it. But you have to find what works for you. But I don't think there's any defect in
that.
There's no defect in that, no.
And one more thing, it's a very bad thing of me, or maybe, or like, sometimes like, when I hear Prabhupada singing, like I feel like this weird thing, if it's Maya or what, but like I feel like, oh, 75-year-old man is singing, and it's like, sometimes, yeah. Well, sometimes these weird thoughts, bad thoughts come in my mind about, it should not be, he is my spiritual master, but it's an offense, but yeah. How do you get rid of it?
Listen.
Listen.
I do think that perhaps for many people, actually listening deeply to Srila Prabhupada takes some purification. We may not be able to immediately appreciate it. He's on another platform. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can listen to other people easier. That's a fact. But I do feel that as we get purified, if you just don't put aside the conditioning. Yeah, because Prabhupada doesn't sound like whoever, whatever pop singer, he sounds different.
Yeah.
So it may not be our conditioning to like that kind of singing. But I believe that as we get purified and if you really listen deeply, you'll find something very amazing in his singing. I know I had that experience that I was like a new devotee and I was gonna go out on book distribution and I was taking a little nap. And at that time, this was in the LA temple and then in the 70s, and they were playing Srila Prabhupada. I still remember they were playing Prayers to the Six Goswamis. Actually, listen to that sometime. It's on Krishna Meditations. And there's one place in that recording where Prabhupada's singing the words, and then at one point he says, Radha Krishna Padada Vinda Bhajana Nandina Matalika. But when he comes up to that part, he just sings Radha Krishna, and then he stops singing and he just kind of sails off on the harmonium, and then he sings again Radha Krishna. And I still remember that my hair stood on end when I heard that. So, yeah, I just knew at that time that there's something very, very special and powerful in Srila Prabhupada's singing. This is the sound vibration. That's a little bit of the reason why it's intimidating to do this kind of analysis of Srila Prabhupada, because we don't want to reduce understanding him to kind of music. It's not like analyzing Mozart or something like that. There's something very, very different that has absolutely nothing to do with music. Interesting. I personally feel, when I heard Srila Prabhupada the first time, I thought this is the best musician I'd ever heard. That was just the thought that I didn't know who he was, and I'd heard a lot of musicians at that point in my life. But the thought that went through my head was that this is the best musician I've ever heard. And over the years, I've come to understand, because, like I said, there's absolutely no false ego. He's really, when I was in music school, I used to think all these musicians are spending hours in practice rooms learning a language, but they don't have anything to say. That was a thought. I didn't know devotees at that time, and I myself didn't have anything to say, to be fair. But when Srila Prabhupada sings Radha Krishna, Radha and Krishna are there, he's singing a real love song about a real person. It's not illusion. It's not my baby left me and I feel so blue. You know, it's not that kind of emotion. These are transcendental, eternal emotions that he's expressing. So we may not be able to tap into that right away. That's pretty normal, I would say. But don't give up. Check in periodically and listen deeply to Srila Prabhupada. You'll be surprised. What's there?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jai Mitrasena.
Hare Krishna. I was just reading about Mukunda in London when they were struggling to get the temple, and somebody back, I think in California, said, "We need you to come and help with this recording." And he said, "Great, I need to get out of here for a while. It's so cold and bleak and everything's so difficult." So he booked a flight, he was ready to go, and then he got a letter from Prabhupada saying, "Don't go." He said, "I understand you're a musician and that's what you want to do, but you should also understand that we are not musicians. Just like you do, we use music in the service of Krishna, just like we use typewriters in the service of Krishna, but you never think of yourself as a typist. We use music, but we never think of ourselves as musicians. Exactly. We're servants of Krishna." And Mukunda said he read that and he just felt crushed, like, "I was really wanting to go to sunny California and get out here for a while and do what I like doing." But after a couple of days of thinking about it, he thought, "Okay, I'm not just in this for fun." And he said that was a turning point in his devotional career.
Yeah.
So that goes on your website.
Yeah.
You got to find that letter from Prabhupada.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, all of those things. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada never saw him that way. He would say, "Music is one of the items."
Something we use.
It's something we do, but we're not musicians, we're devotees. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Bhakti.
Was that Happening album renamed and in the archives collection?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, the original album was called Krishna Consciousness, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, right? I think I think that's it. And we call it the Happening, and it was on Happening Records, so we call it the Happening album. Actually, I don't know in the archives what it's called, but you can find it.
You can find it all on YouTube. Many, many times it's posted from different devotees.
David.
Prabhu, you mentioned earlier about recording, and you've done it so many times, and many of us, if not all of us in the room, have appreciated your recordings from their place of spiritual upliftment also. And I was hoping you could give some guidance on how to record while maintaining the devotional atmosphere, because there is that consideration of an audience and commercial aspect and the technical things that go into recording. Many people are doing videos now, and media is important. Prabhupada wanted us, he said, unlimited propaganda. And yet, when it becomes just populist junk, then it doesn't bring Krishna with it. And it's easy to get distracted by that. So if you could give some guidance around keeping a devotional atmosphere when making media.
Well, Srila Prabhupada one time was asked, what's the best way to get people chanting? And he said, go on chanting. He said, we are not trying to entertain the crowd. We want to give them something, Krishna. So we should, just like I was having this conversation with the Chuta Gopi, and sometimes if somebody's musically expert, they're considered, they must not be a good devotee. So it's kind of, sometimes swings the other way. And her comment was, it's not that when somebody cooks a fantastic feast that we mind that they're a good cook. Right? Nobody minds a good cook, right? So it's not that somehow musical expertise is automatically evil or something like that. We shouldn't say it like that. Whatever ability we have, we should try to use it the best we can. But at the same time, yeah, we want to give them something. We want them to get Krishna. And the next question is, can a little jiva like myself do that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we can pray to that, if Krishna, if you so desire, please come through this chanting, or please be here. Please be present in this chanting. So in the recording studio, actually, things can be, yeah, you can be somewhere else. And so, but it's important to keep that mood that, yeah, we want to give them. Otherwise, there's billions of people doing music, probably better singers, better musicians than I'll ever be. But if we can give Krishna, then it's good. Is that okay? How did this happen anyway?
You're always traveling. And that's why. Okay. He's asking, how is this happening that you're all still sitting here? We don't get to hear from you very often. You're always traveling.
That question I asked you 2 years ago at your house. Do you remember what you said? Maybe not.
No.
I didn't want to be personal, but I wanted to know. My question is very similar, but I asked you, when you're chanting, you usually close your eyes, and what are you thinking? Do you remember that?
Okay. Class is over now.
Because I've seen you in many kirtans.
For those of you who live in Alachua, you might know that we have the original deities of Radha and Shyama Sundar here. They're not in Vrindavan. They're here. And we get to look at them every day. We have darshan every day. And if we're fortunate, their forms can enter deeply into our heart, right? We can just close our eyes and think of them. And if we're fortunate, when we chant the holy name, then their forms will come in our mind.
And you also said, just listen to the mantra. Mm. That's most important. There's no room for your mind if you're just listening.
That was Prabhupada's instruction. What did he say? What's the question of mind? Simply hear. Hare Krishna. Uchira. I just wanted to say thank you for your kirtan yesterday. It was so wonderful. You're just coming off this massive surgery and you came out to, I mean, stroke, and thank you for leading us in kirtan.
I was thinking that Happening album, someone gave it to me, and I would play it over and over and over. And my mother started singing it because it was so catchy. It wasn't like, later on when I became a devotee, she said, how did that happen? You know? I said, remember when we were always chanting with that album? And she said, oh, yes.
There you go. Wow.
And not only that, but there was like a hippie community next door, and then they all became devotees also from there.
From the album?
Yes.
Wow.
It was so powerful.
Wow. Srila Prabhupada. It still has that potency.
And also I was thinking that when you were saying, how can we sing? I was thinking, Lord Chaitanya can make a blind man see, and a lame man climb mountains. So I always think before chanting that, you know, if you can empower me to help others feel something for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. True.
Hare Krishna. I could follow your story a little bit there. So I'm from New Jersey, and I live on the opposite side of the Hudson River. And I've been alive long enough to know Prabhupada, but not personally. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was, you know, how you sing like row, row, row your boat going to the beach or something. So it would be that, and then the Maha Mantra in my family, because we would see them, we would hear them, we would... It was just part of our lives, and my mother worked in New York, so it was really ingrained, and we had no idea what we were doing. So decades pass, and now it's, you know, it's not part of our family anymore, and guess what? I end up on the path, you know, later on. And yeah, how do you know? Thank you, Krishna. And then when I tell my family, so what is it? They say, what are you doing now? What is it? And I'm like, oh, the easiest way for me to say it is, oh, I'm a Hare Krishna. And the first thing they do is chant the Maha Mantra. And I get a call from Seattle, Washington. Hey, I saw a picture on Instagram. Are you like a Hare Krishna? And I was like, yeah. And then they start chanting the Maha Mantra. My brother calls me up. He's like, did you become a Hare Krishna? It's like, so over and over again, my family, without knowing it, are chanting the Maha Mantra.
Wow.
And the holy name of the Lord. So it's wonderful. Yeah. How do you go?
Anyone else? Sorry.
Thank you, Brother Hari and Kosha. Could you say a little bit about different tunes? Do certain tunes, you know, invoke various sentiments, some more or less toward bhakti?
Yeah, that gets into a debate, which I don't know if I want to get into. But... from teaching teenage girls for 10 years how to play harmonium and mridanga, sometimes I would say, hey, how'd you like to learn this tune? And they would say, ooh, I hate that tune. So, well, how about this one? So I think different, I mean, it's interesting. Srila Prabhupada said, I have my own style, right? Pretty amazing, right? He never said, I have my own philosophy, or, right? He would never say that, but he said, I have my own style. He had his personal preferences, his personal, I'm looking for a word. Anyway, everybody has a certain mindset that we develop over the years. We hear certain kinds of music. We like certain things, we don't like other things. Like the first time I heard this Bengali style of downward glissando, you know, I was like, no. But some people think, wow, it's so cool, you know. So I think it, it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada said one time, actually in the fairly early days, the devotees were listening to a Kinchana Krishnadas Babaji. I'm sure many of you know him. Amazing devotee, amazing kirtanier, and they were recording him. They would go and they would record him and learn his melodies. And that was from him. That was where a lot of the Bengali mridanga beats started coming in. This whole thing of Nitai Gaura Hari Bhat, you know, that kind of, you know, pulling back, and those kinds of different things began coming into the kirtan from him. So one person asked, you know, told Srila Prabhupada that they're recording him and listening to him, is that okay? And Prabhupada's comment was really interesting. He said, yes, he is a bona fide devotee, but why do you imitate? Sing in your own way, and Krishna will accept. So I think it's of course, we all grow up, we hear certain things, and we're all, you could say, a product of what we've heard. You know, we're certainly, you know, even in Srila Prabhupada, you could point to different influences. You could say you can hear bits of raga and Bengali melodies. He obviously, from the way he played harmonium, he grew up in India, not in America, you know. So, you know, there's certainly influences, but at the same point, when he sang, it was Srila Prabhupada singing, you know. It wasn't, oh, who's he sound like? So I think that's important in terms of melodies, that you, especially when you're leading kirtan or singing kirtan, you want to find melodies that you connect with, that are a personal expression. It may not be an original melody or something, but it's got to be something that you connect with.
Arting starts in 1 minute. Oops.
We're getting the hook. But anyway, some thoughts. Is that okay?
So on Art of Kirtan website, there's a way to connect with Bhadahari and ask questions. So just go over to the website. It's free to enroll. A couple beautiful philosophy courses for free. So please take advantage of his association through this Kirtan Music School.
Namaon Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Pashatya Adishatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindav.